S-R-N.
I love you, Pumpkin.
I love you, honey bunny.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost on a coin toss.
Yeah, what's up?
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill him.
Attica! Attica!
What is
Attica?
Attica!
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
Hey, Stella!
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up!
You are now listening to Cinema Press Release.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Space Devils. What are you, Space Devils?
Space Devil introduces us. You got a problem with Space Devil introducing
the
show?
No, I'm just saying. It was just...
Cinema Cross Producers now brought to you by Space Devil.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Space Devil and Space Devil Incorporated. For all your Space Devil needs, go to spacedevilincorporated.net. It's a non-profit organization. I am your host, Christopher Crossbow. Thanks for tuning in to episode 64 of Cinema Cross Producers. So that other person here is Drew Sterkogman. Drew, how's it going?
It's going, man. How's it going with you?
Doing pretty good, dude. Pretty good.
Only a little clap. Oh, just sorry. A little one. Soft clap for Drew. Is that all I get this
there
week?
There you go. Feel better?
Yeah, I do.
Feel better about that one?
Yeah.
I can give you Nazi support.
See? I thought we decided no more Nazi support, Chris.
You're right. I'm sorry about that. guest, three-time guest. We haven't had this guy on since before the football season started. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Definitely a reason for that. We had to squeeze him in, but he's here now because football season's over. Matt, how's it going, dude?
Yeah, hey, I'm good.
Matt from SBK Live.
SBK Live, man. Yeah, Matt seems kind of innocuous, so.
Yeah, right? Matty Ice.
Matt.
So. I mean, Matt was cabin.
Yes. Matt is no longer SBK cabin. Live. Fame.
Yes. Wait. Here, let me give you one of it.
Beautiful.
So, how's it going, buddy? How you doing?
It's good, man. Yeah. It's Sundays, you know, with no football, just aren't the same. But here, you know, we got movies year round. So there you go.
Fortunately, we do have movies year round.
The football off season right now is also the movie off season. So kind of sucks that way.
Sort of. The football, the movie, like summer season starts before football does in May.
Right. The summer's it. Yeah.
And then every year, I mean, the last few years, the summer season's been starting earlier and earlier. And I'll tell you, this year,
not as excited. Not as excited this year though. There's a couple I want to see, but in general, meh.
Interesting. I guess we'll be able to talk about that.
I know the past couple years there's been something.
There's always something that grabs you.
Your Hangover or your Avengers. That's like that I've been just waiting for. And this, I mean, like, I'll see that Matthew McConaughey space movie. That looks really good.
Christopher Nolan, yeah, yeah. But that's
I'll
like
Godzilla.
That's not even a summer movie, though. That's November.
Oh, I thought that was summer.
Yeah, no,
oh.
That's like November. Yeah, Godzilla's a big one.
Godzilla
yeah, yeah,
will be
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Transformers, the fourth one?
I couldn't
Transformers.
Transformers.
Funny.
Yeah. I probably won't see that in the theater.
What else is the big one? The well, you got the X-Men.
Yeah.
Dude, oh, yeah. Pass. Okay. Yeah. X-Men.
They're gonna be a lot of fun. And also, isn't there another comic book?
Captain America comes out this weekend.
Couldn't care less.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Care about that one at all?
Couldn't care. Couldn't
that
care
looks less. Silly as hell. Yeah, I kind of. I really want to see it.
I'll probably see all those on, demand.
There,
that's about it.
There you go. All right.
None of those are getting me out into the theater.
So no excitement for you at all. The summer kind of sad when you go into summer with no excitement like that, don't you think?
Well, I have life excitement. I just don't have movie excitement.
No, fair. All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, you got to see Transformers in theaters. That's what the movie's made for. Like, I don't care. Once I see Transformers in theaters, I never have to see it again.
Yeah, I don't like the way they did Megan Fox wrong, so I can't. I boycott. Okay. Transformer franchise.
Megan Fox will be back this summer doing another Michael Bay production.
Yes, she will.
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles.
Yeah, I
thought they hated each other, but now they're working together again.
I think they buried the hatchet. You know, mm-hmm. She called him a Nazi or something like that, or Hitler, and Spielberg was like, "That's not cool." And then she had a baby. Not everything's cool. No, something like that. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the Turtles trailer, but we can talk about that in the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about here, a lot to do. Let's go ahead and start with the old. Tell you what, let's start the show. How's that sound?
No.
What is this? Is this like
I'm putting my foot down,
Kevin? No. Thing? Did I'm we not start?
I mean, we're recording for sure. Oh, the music, the intro, but I mean. You know, that this is the intro, the banter. You know, it's your third time on, so we're just hanging out. You know, it's pretty informal, but drinking beer. It's only what time is it? It's early.
So we're starting the show.
Oh, the show has started. Okay. The show has started for sure. But we are now going to start the show though with the Netflix. I mean, Drew's kind of refusing, but
no, we're not.
But I mean, once the music
I'll
starts,
break the machine, dude.
As soon
I'll
as make there's, sure
I will throw the randomizer away.
Don't throw away the randomizer. You know how that's part of the studio now. Oh, and you hear that? That's the bed music. It started. It's time for the Netflix. Instant pick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's warm up that randomizer 9000.
Maybe there'll be something I saw here. There you go.
It could be. There's some. They had one of those recent purges, so there's some new stuff on there.
Oh, they did. I haven't been on Netflix in a little while.
Yeah, they have. And there we go. It's all warmed up, ready to go. Oh no! Oh, which one was it, Matt?
Reservoir Dogs.
No, they took Reservoir Dogs off.
Oh, it's off?
Oh, those fuckers.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
It's a good movie.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Drew, did you botch this one?
I did botch it.
Is it on there?
Yeah, it's there.
It's there?
Because for a second, like when I first put it up, it said related, you know, see things related to. And when that happens, that means it's only on DVD.
Right.
And then when I started deleting letters again... Then it came back.
And it was there.
And it was there.
So you can watch. It says watch.
Yeah, it says
watch. Reservoir Dogs. All right. Good. Hey, well.
In fact,
good job.
You are currently 42 minutes into it, Chris.
Oh, for my last time I watched it?
Yes, almost 3 years ago.
I also have it on DVD, so. You know, if you have a movie on streaming versus on DVD, it's going to look better on DVD.
You know, I like Reservoir Dogs, and I just watched Swingers the other day for the first time in a while, and I forgot about that scene. When they're all at the table talking about how movies rip off other movies and they go and do the Reservoir Dogs scene after they do the Reservoir Dogs table scene.
Yeah.
And they talk about how Tarantino rips everybody off.
And then they rip off Tarantino.
It's a good scene. I didn't even really catch that the first time I watched the movie because there's so much in that movie that you just like.
And plus,
so many great scenes.
It helps that he got a... It helps to have seen Reservoir Dogs than to have like picked up the joke in Swingers as well. But Reservoir Dogs is so good. It's such a
great movie.
Crazy movie. Tarantino's first movie directed by him, and it's his signature style of like jumbling around a timeline where it starts like in the middle, and then he shows you bits of the beginning and how they got together, and then here's a little bit of the end, and then here's a side thing, and there's this little bit of torture scene, you know? And it's like, oh, Tarantino, it's fun. And then they're cursing all the time and talking about Madonna and dick and all that stuff. So
lots of fucks.
It was definitely kind of exploded onto the scene. I think it played like Sundance, like '92, something like that, and people were like, what the fuck is this?
Well, and he had great actors in it too. It's not like it was just like a bunch of nobodies trying to do all this.
True, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Chris Penn, you know, or rest in peace. That dude, James Tierney, I think his name is, who the older guy, who also did an episode of Seinfeld, and then apparently the people...
Madsen, what's his name?
Michael Madsen.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, of course, Steve Buscemi, right.
Madsen never really did any big movies. I always thought he was pretty good. He's always like in B-movies, kind
of. Yeah, well, he was all right. I think he's a tougher guy to work with. I think it was a deal with him. Kind of like a Tom Sizemore type of thing, maybe, perhaps. I mean, he's always been... good. I never thought he was that great, though.
No, but I mean,
he's good in this, but he's just playing like a psycho asshole, right?
Which he probably is.
True. Well, if he was in Kill Bill, in the Kill Bill movies,
Bud. Psycho asshole.
Mm-hmm. He was good as Bud. Bill's brother, right?
Yeah.
Bud. Yeah, that's fun. So Reservoir Dogs, good movie. Great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
The start of an awesome career for Tarantino. So I guess this one, you know, we've all seen it. People our age and older and, you know, all around us.
Seen Reservoir Dogs.
For the most part, yes. But so this pick, this is for the children. This one's for the kids. And,
watch,
you know,
kids.
By that, I mean, I'm not trying to be condescending. But, you know, those all your folks listening to the show have been born like in 1990 or later. Like when this movie came out, you were 2 years old.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good amount of you that you like movies. But no, you haven't gotten around to Reservoir Dogs. Maybe you've even seen Pulp Fiction or Jackie Brown. Get down on Reservoir Dogs, man. It's the first one. It's where it started.
It's pretty hardcore.
Actually, and go back and watch True Romance, too.
Even better.
I mean, I get mad. I do get contacted by people who are, like, students during school, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. You know, they haven't seen Goodfellas or stuff like that. You know, things that we take for granted.
Yeah. I wish I could go to a world where I hadn't seen that so I could watch it all over again.
Right?
I would like to experience that for the first time. Because I have had the pleasure of telling people, like, oh, you need some classic movies to watch these. And then, like, someone came back to me and was like, okay, I watched Goodfellas. I need you to tell me other movies like that. And I'm like, well, there's Casino. Yeah. That's about it. That's why it's Goodfellas. You know, that Scorsese had that pop that time, that 1 year.
Which came out first?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas was before Casino.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like Goodfellas, 92, Casino was like 95. I think there was even something in between those two. So
he's got that formula that I love. What, you know, the first half of the movie is just the build up and the introduction, and everything's great, and they show you, they glorify it, and then it hits the midway point, and
the shit hits the fan.
There's a scene where you could just tell, like in Wolf of Wall Street, where he has that fight in the bedroom with his supermodel wife,
and
then it's just all downhill from there. You just know
it got really ugly from that point on, really ugly. Or in Goodfellas, when the drugs start coming into it, and he gets out of jail, but he's still dealing the drugs, like, oh, this is not gonna end well. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And he's like the master of voiceover.
What was the scene in Casino where it started to go wrong?
It's
trying to remember.
It started going wrong in the beginning. Once Joe Pesci's character gets introduced, he's the one that brings it all down because he was so insane.
Was it the scene where they were in the parking lot and Sharon Stone's her lover gets beat up by Robert De Niro and his goons, and then she's like, I hate you and I'll never love you, and he just sort of realized that relationship was over.
He did put so much in that relationship. Yeah, that's probably towards the middle of the movie too. That would be a good point to look at and say this is where shit really started going wrong for him. But I think really it does hinge more on, I mean, the relationship is one thing, but then his relationship with Joe Pesci's character is another. Where, I mean, he was trying to be cool. He's like, hey, you're from back east, so we're gonna treat you right out of here. But then he acts like a crazy asshole and he's like terrorizing people. No, I don't want to watch Casino.
I just watched that a few weeks ago. No, not a few. It was a few months by now, actually. Yeah.
That another great cast. James Woods as the pimp boyfriend.
Scorsese. Yeah. You know, and he's, you know, that's another reason I like Wolf so much. Because really, at this point, I mean, the guy's in his 70s. What does he have? Maybe one more great home run left?
Yeah, he feels he has like maybe two movies in him left total, two or three.
So, you got to enjoy like it.
Towards the end. Yeah, absolutely. Got to enjoy the movies. It's incredible that Wolf of Wall Street was as good as it is. You know, I consider his age and everything, and how energetic it is the whole time. It's it seems like a movie made by a younger man, for sure. So Reservoir Dogs, great choice. Box office recap, Drew, you got the numbers, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Let's do this.
Starting off at number 12 this week, Cesar Chavez had a weekend gross $3 million, same as the total. It's only in like 600 theaters.
Yeah, you know what? Only 600 theaters, $3 million. That's pretty good. It's pretty good for a movie about Cesar Chavez, the revolutionary leader for, you know, the Mexican labor movement, immigration, et cetera, et cetera. Directed by Diego Luna, who's a fine young actor.
Okay.
It's playing in town. It is playing at Waterford Lake. So people locally, if you want to check it out, go see it there. Mm-hmm. We had a couple other movies on our plate, so we didn't get to see it. Drewster and myself.
That is correct.
We did get to see the number 7 movie, then.
That is correct. That's Sabotage.
Sabotage!
Had a weekend gross of $5.330 million. Same as total.
I don't think I know what Sabotage is.
That's the Schwarzenegger movie where it's him and a team of DEA people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apparently, a lot of people didn't know what's... You know, my mom had the same reaction. Yeah. I was like, I went and saw that Schwarzenegger movie. She's like, oh, which one? I said, Sabotage. She's like, Sabotage? Which one's that one?
Police guys, DEA, drugs.
I thought I'd been seeing this trailer in front of everything for a while. But I guess not enough people knew about it, or people just didn't care. I mean, only $5.3 million opening weekend. That's even less than that Schwarzenegger movie from a year ago, The Last Stand, where he was that old sheriff in that little town with the Johnny Knoxville movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that movie opened to more money than Sabotage.
Sabotage was a much better movie.
Sabotage is a better movie. Yeah. We saw Sabotage starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and also Sam Worthington from Avatar.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, man, he hadn't really done much.
He had that 1 year in 2009 where he was in Avatar and like two other. He was in Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, he was also in the.
One other big movie.
Oh, God, it was the.
Well, he's doing Avatar 2 when that comes out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which will be
And three,
Titans,
four, five.
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
Movies.
Yeah. So in 1 year, it was the Clash of the Titans, Avatar, and that other movie we mentioned. But and he hasn't done anything since then, really, because he kind of sucks. But he's in this one. He's all right in this,
not
actually.
Bad.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
Plays a guy Sugar. Named Sugar. Not racist at all.
Of course not. Black guy named Sugar.
And then who else was in? There's another dude. Who's the other dude? That big dude. That big dude. James. Jim. Mangelio.
Is he the guy from Game of Thrones? That guy?
No, he's the guy from True Blood, I believe. Is there?
Is there a
giant guy?
Joe. His name's Joe Montelio.
Joe Mangelio. Joe.
Mangeliello.
That guy. So that guy's in it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He's a giant.
He's a Pittsburgh guy, which I like.
Is he a Pittsburgh guy? Yeah. He's a giant of a man, which is it's funny to watch him tower over Schwarzenegger in a couple scenes. That's all those people plus a few other guys. They're like an elite task force, DEA undercover task force, and it's weird where the trailers sold one story and then the movie is a totally different story.
Yeah.
Like literally they sold it like in the trailer, if you watch the trailer for this movie. Here's the trailer. In the trailer, the Schwarzenegger's team makes a big drug bust, and they seize a lot of money from some drug cartels. But then somehow someone within the team steals some money, and Schwarzenegger doesn't know who, and then the drug cartels start coming after them because someone stole the money. So then it's all about the cartels versus the DEA group because of this bust, right? And then, according to the trailer, then they take Schwarzenegger's wife and kid, and she's like, come get me, you know? So that makes you think, okay, so the movie's going to end with him going, trying to get his wife. And it's totally not that whatsoever. The movie starts with the wife being took, and then everything else happens like eight months later.
Oh.
As a result of the wife being took because of other shit. Yeah. And then the story is this really murky thing about... like, there is money missing. Who took it? Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? By the time the movie's over.
I'm not even sure who the good guy was in that movie.
Yeah, there really is no good guy in the movie. It's one of those. It's very morally ambiguous, brutal.
I mean, is it worth seeing?
Yeah, well, I guess that's what we're going to try to figure right now. What do you think, Drew? What's the Drewster review of The Sabotage?
I think if you've seen this guy's other movies...
David Ayers,
yes,
like Training Day, End of Watch,
correct.
Harsh Times.
Oh, those are all good movies.
If you've seen those movies, if you are a fan of those movies, if you're a fan of his style and his storytelling, then by all means go out and see this movie because it's just like all of them. It's very morally ambiguous. There's a lot of action. There's cool stuff going on. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a whodunit. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. At the end of it, you really don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, who's the whatever.
Yeah, a lot of intrigue.
Because a lot of these people are really shitty on the inside.
Arnold, though.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. If that's your type of movie, then by all means, go see it. If you've seen those other movies and that stuff's not for you, then I mean it's just like all those other movies. Mm-hmm. So
now, what if someone hasn't seen those other movies? They have no frame of reference. They just know it's a Schwarzenegger, DEA, drug cartels.
I just think lots of plot twists, bloody action,
a lot of bloody
and
action.
No discernible hero.
All right,
yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Get into that.
I would say because I like Schwarzenegger and he actually gives a very fine performance.
He's good in this movie.
He is good.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he does more than just show up and be like, use my gun, get down. Although at one point he does say get down,
get down.
And I was like, yes, inside, deep in my soul, I was like, yes, get down.
That is great.
But no, he's actually quite good in the movie because he plays a very interesting character. And it's it's a good movie. It's my thing is that it's very brutal. It's a brutal movie. It gets really, really bloody. Even though there's a lot of CG blood, it does get pretty visceral. Mm-hmm. There's one part where they have to go around looking for body parts, and it's like, oh, here's some hanging meat over here, and here's some shit over there. It's really gross. And it's bleak. The whole moral ambiguity thing, when it's over, it's a bleak movie. It's kind of like,
it's definitely not a feel-good flick.
No. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I would say it's like, maybe check out a matinee so that you can walk out of the theater and it's sunny out and you have your whole day. Then you can go play some mini golf. I'm like, all right, I can shake that off a little bit. Or I'll see it at home, just wait for DVD at that point. No matter what, at this point, the movie is a bit of a bomb. Less than 5.5 million opening weekend. It's going to make 15 total. Probably only cost them 20 or 30 to make, but still, it can't be very good for them. But Schwarzenegger, he's just around the corner from doing Terminator 5 and King Conan.
Wow, so. I didn't know he was doing Terminator 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Holy cow.
It's actually called Terminator Genesis, and it's somehow horrible title. Sequel? It's a prequel sequel thing. The girl from Game of Thrones.
Khaleesi?
She's Sarah Connor. Jason Clarke, who... did you ever see Lawless, that Shia LaBeouf, Tom Hardy Prohibition movie? The other brother, the crazy brother, the bigger guy.
I vaguely remember that guy.
The guy you like vaguely remember, he's going to be John Connor.
You know, there's a bartender at Cleo's downtown named Sarah Connor. She invented a shot called the Terminator, actually. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, is it good?
Check it out if you stop by Cleo's.
Cleo's Sarah Connor. I'm looking for Sarah Connor. I'm sure she hasn't heard that one before.
Yeah, sure she has.
Sabotage. Yeah, sorry, Arnold. I want Arnold to be successful again in movies because I like the guy, you know, in movies. But it's not looking good. Not looking good lately for the big guy. He needs that Terminator 5 to come out soon. All right, let's go ahead. Number 6 is Grand Budapest Hotel. Go to ChrisCrespo.com to read my review of Grand Budapest Hotel.
Did you like it?
I liked it quite a bit.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. I know. All those guys, that guy's movies are weird. The Rushmores and all that stuff.
Yep, but, they are. They're all that quirky style, the very specific camera movements and the production design.
Isn't that playing at the Enzion or something right now?
No, actually, it's playing normally around town.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a limited.
It was limited, but it was still playing. Where did we see it at? We saw it at Waterford.
We saw
Winter Park.
No,
We saw Bad Words at Waterford Lakes, but still, we saw it at a Regal.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's like they had it out in a couple of Regal theaters, and then they expanded to all the Regals. Enzion, while they do usually have art house movies along the lines of Wes Anderson style films, his movies are still just a little too big for the Enzion theater. Because like even Fantastic
Ray Fiennes.
This had Ray Fiennes. Fantastic Mr. Fox, was voiced by Clooney. You know, so those are movies that are big enough to justify putting in the AMC and stuff like. Even though there's still that weird, quirky art house. Which is cool. I think it makes it fun that movies like that do come out in the quote normal theaters, and more people can get access to stuff like that. You don't have to go out of your way to go to the art house. So, and this week it's playing in 977 screens. Last week was like 300 something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's number? Number five.
God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead.
Weekend gross of $9 million.
Sounds terrible. I don't know anything about that movie, but it sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
Kevin Sorbo.
And Dean Cain. Hercules and Superman. Yeah. So a movie about... it's one of these... You've heard me talk about this before, Matt, on like SBK Live and stuff. The Christian exploitation films. They're faith-based movies that are supposed to, like, they're trying to get that Christian dollar that propelled Passion of the Christ to $600 million worldwide. And then people can't figure out how come all these other ones don't make $600 million worldwide. It's because they all kind of stink. Mel Gibson actually made a good movie. Say what you want about it. You know, it's actually good, technically speaking. You may hate it because it's a snuff film or whatever, but the guy knows what he's doing. God's Not Dead. You know these guys don't know what they're doing because it stars Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, just terrible. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, so... but then again, I think it's kind of hard to find Christian actors in Hollywood like that. Actors who are willing to do... You know, like like the Kirk Camerons and stuff. I think that those are slim pickings there. So, beggars can't be choosers. Like, Kevin Sorbo shows up at the casting call. You look around. He's the only guy there. Damn it. I guess we're making this with Kevin Sorbo.
And
it
looks like Hercules is my main man here.
Looks like Hercules is my Christian. Here we go. All right. So what's next?
Number 4, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Weekend gross 9.5. Total of 94.9. Budget of 145.
It's doing okay financially. How's it doing internationally?
That's not... bomb, but that's probably not what they wanted, right?
Yeah, they probably wanted more. It is at 123 international, so 218 worldwide. In another 50-60 million, it'll break even after all the marketing costs and shit. So it'll be okay. It's not. They're probably not rushing out to make
sequel,
sequel exactly. But you know, hey, what are you gonna do? We didn't see it. Did you see it, Drew?
No.
We didn't see it. So what's number three?
Number three, Muppets Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. Weekend gross of 11.3, total of 33.2.
Man, I thought a Muppet movie would make more money than that.
You know, the last one made a little more. Maybe it's the timing of the release. I mean, it's March. Maybe they could have held off a little bit. Maybe. The movie got pretty decent reviews. I want to go see it. Still haven't had a chance to. And then next week is the Florida Film Festival. So.
Oh, man. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's over.
It's going to be pretty tough. So I have to sneak out sometime this week to go see it. I mean, I think it's doing okay. It's only cost them $50 million to make, and then Muppets are an international brand, so hopefully it'll come out in more international markets and make some money there. I would just like to see more Muppets movies. Then again, it's Disney. They got the money.
Yeah, they do.
So they can keep cranking them out no matter what. That's the problem. Are they just going to crank them out?
Mm-hmm.
Like product?
Yes, like all the rest of them.
That's the problem. Well, the last one wasn't. No, the last one was a thing of love. The Muppets, the Jason Segel Muppets.
Well, yeah, that was because
that was all about bringing the Muppets back because they had been gone for so long.
Well, exactly, and now that they're back, people are like, you know, maybe they could go away for a little while, and then maybe they could come back again.
No, I don't want them to. They already got to go away. They just got here. They're already going away.
the American people's attention span
fickle.
They're pretty much an ADD kid. It's like, ooh, Muppets, and what's that over there? It's a pretty butterfly. Let's go play with that now.
Well, Pretty Butterfly in a number two spot. What's the number two movie?
Number two is pretty, yeah, you're right, Pretty Butterfly. Divergent. Weekend gross of $26.5 million, total gross of $95.2.
I kind of wanted to
on
see
a budget
that.
Budget $85.
The reviews aren't horrible.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, you guys haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Don't plan on seeing it.
Yeah, we were on a panel. Something else came out that weekend that we saw instead. You know, I might see it on like a Redbox DVD, HBO, that type of thing. I do like this Shailene Woodley chick, this little lady. Mm-hmm. I find her quite interesting as an actress
and attractive as well.
That helps.
That helps. Man, I was hoping for a review of that one. I hadn't. I don't know anything about it.
Well, you know, I put out the call. I was like, "Hey, go people! If you see your Divergent, tweet us a review at Crespediso."
And yeah,
nobody saw it.
No one.
Huh? $95 million worth of.
$95 million worth of people saw
that.
And I've read
boy.
Some things where it's like, you know, it's okay. It's not necessarily bad. It's just a little derivative of a bunch of other movies and ideas
City
and stories.
Bones.
Yeah, you know, exactly. But then it sent up a sequel. So is all the interesting stuff going to happen in the sequel? But is it going to get made? You know, like what's the next one? I think this one's Divergent. Next one's like
Hunger Games.
Insurgent. And then the third one is
Exurgent.
Like Resurgence or something. Regurgitate. All right, number one. We did see the number one movie.
Number one movie this week, Noah.
Woo! Noah!
Oh, you saw that?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, wow. Weekend gross of $44 million. Wow. Total gross of $44. Budget of $125.
$44 million opening weekend is pretty good.
For Mr. Aronofsky.
Actually, you know that. For Aronofsky, that might be his biggest opening weekend.
That's Russell Crowe, right?
That is Russell Crowe, yes.
Man.
It is his biggest opening weekend for Darren Aronofsky by far, so.
How was it?
Okay.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I mean,
it was very, very interesting.
It definitely had Christian undertones. Well, obviously.
Well, of course. I mean,
because.
Yeah.
It could have not.
Well, I mean. It had Christian and Jewish undertones. I mean, it is
just Judeo-Christian religious, basic, you know,
right.
The creator. You know, this is all for the creator. We're here because of him. We're here for him, et cetera, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. This is a weird movie.
But
man.
Oh man, at the same time, it was weird. It kind of bashed Meat Eaters, like. It kind of made me.
Yeah, you want to jump into that? Okay, let's jump into
let's
that.
Let's jump into that real quick.
Noah in this movie is he's pretty much the world's first conservationist.
And people hater. His whole lineage just kind of hates people.
Yeah, his lineage hates people because the other people are descendants of Cain because Cain slew his brother Abel.
Yes.
You know, the first murder, right? So that's very important to the story, obviously. He is the descendant of not Cain or Abel, but the third brother, Seth, that everyone forgets about because there's Cain, there's Abel. Mm-hmm. They get the headlines, but then there's Seth. Seth is showing off to the side, right?
Yeah.
And he's like a descendant of Seth's line. So that's why he's still like the only good family left is Noah's family, whereas the rest of the world is completely evil and corrupt. So
they're all living on Pangaea.
Yeah, there's a quick shot of Earth where all the contents are like squished together. It looks like Pangaea.
Okay.
And so then Noah is, as opposed to all the other evil people, he is a conservationist where like one of his kids picks a flower from the ground and immediately Noah's like, what are you doing? Stop that. What? Because it's Russell Crowe. So he has that kind of muddled accent. What are you doing? And he's like, don't pick that from the ground. It's connected to the ground for a reason. Unless you need it, don't be picking flowers. You only take what we need. Like, very over-the-top reaction, just picking a little tiny bitty flower from the ground. And then later, some people are, like, hunting an animal for food. And he, like, tracks down the animal. And he stops the people from killing it to eat it. And they're just like, we're hungry, yo. We need to eat.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're not going to eat animals. Like, apparently that's really bad. And they're like, and then his kid's like, why do they want to eat animals? He's like, because they think it gives them strength.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I'm like, well, I'm sure, you know, okay. Noah doesn't understand the concept of proteins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there is benefits to eating meat. It gives them strength. Yes, it does give you strength. It's called sustenance. It's food. But he was like totally against it. And then there's another part later, just to drive the point home, where a bad guy, he's like injured, and he just grabs like a snake, and he
bites his head off.
And he just bites his head off and starts shooting.
I need my strength.
Yeah, he says, I need to gather my strength. And he starts eating a snake, and that's obviously like supposed to be a bad thing, that he's eating meat, and because he thinks it's going to give him strength somehow. It's really weird.
That is weird.
Yes.
Strange.
So Noah's the first vegetarian conservationist. Man-hating meat-eater shamer is what he is.
Yeah, pretty much.
But besides for those character flaws, still a good movie.
Yo, fantastic.
Really? The effects are really cool.
Oh,
I guess.
Dude, the effects were really good.
The effects.
I mean,
well, it's definitely a $130-140 million movie for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how
boat stuff, the arc stuff is.
Yeah,
intense.
I mean, I don't know how far these trailers are going to go once the movie gets rolling.
I kind of want to put it out there. I put it out there in my review.
Okay.
So I'm going to start putting it out there because I understand why the marketing department did what they did so they could get more butts in the seats and make more money. But I feel like it's like Sabotage, where they mismarket it a little bit because they hit shit from people. And what they are hiding from people with Noah is that Noah is just as much a mythical, like, fantasy, almost Lord of the Rings style movie.
Really?
More than a Bible
movie.
Dude,
there are crazy... There are otherworldly beings, or just there are beings from quote unquote before the flood.
Then are like are religious, like Catholics and whatnot. Do they like this, or are they saying that this movie is horrible? Because
they can't say it's horrible because it's all taken from the. If you read the Bible, all these characters that Aronofsky's using are in it.
The fantasy stuff,
parts of the Bible that people forget about.
So far from what I've been reading, it's been a little mixed reaction, but for the most part, like Christians and that type of the faith-based audience that they want to tap into, they're liking the overall themes of the movie. They like when the movie's said and done. I think for the most part they like that it's a story about compassion and mercy and good versus evil. All the main stuff's in there. You know, reference for God, working for God, blah blah blah. It's all none of that was shied away from. But then you still gotta get past some weird shit, man.
Yeah, like Methuselah with flaming
sword. Young Methuselah has a flaming sword. There's a big battle where there's a huge battle full of evil people. Methuselah takes out a sword and hits the ground. It's like shh, and everything around.
Everything goes like a giant tidal wave of fire comes and engulfs stuff.
Crazy.
The weirdest thing, and this happens right in the front of the movie, and then it's used throughout the movie. And this is the weirdest thing by far, which is the main thing I think would throw people off, and which they hit from the trailers. And I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. In this movie, there are fallen angels. Okay, what
the
happens
Watchers.
Is, and they're called the Watchers.
And I really love how they explain how they look.
Yeah. I love the explanation. The explanation is the best part. So I won't explain the explanation. Let people. What they are basically is that they're fallen angels who are. They're cursed and banished from heaven, so they're stuck on Earth because they wanted to help mankind, even though God was like, no, we want to help. Well, fuck you guys. So they're stuck on Earth, and they're on Earth. They look like giant rock creature things. Like, they're made of rocks, and they're, what, 15, 20 feet tall?
Easily.
And they have, they're multi-limbed. They look like they have three arms on each side, and they walk around really weird, and they have, like, glowing light inside them that makes their faces, and they talk all weird and shit. And they're, like, prominent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
It's not like there's one scene of these rock things.
They are in the movie.
Yeah, they're characters. Yes. Yeah, like you said, I wonder how many weeks they're going to wait before they start showing this stuff in the trailers and commercials and stuff. Because it is strange as fuck.
It is, dude. There is some really weird fantastical things in this movie.
I don't know, man. I think if they showed that stuff in the trailers, I think people would not... I think it would turn people off.
I think it would too. When I was watching the movie, I'm like, we were in a packed theater.
Yeah.
And at one point while we were watching the trailers, I think like a bus full of people showed up. Yeah. There was all of a sudden like 20 people walking in the theater at the same time looking for seats in a packed ass theater. So I think it's like a church group or something just showed up.
Probably.
Yeah, you know. So then as soon as I see these rock creatures and they're warbling their way through, I'm like, oh my God, what are these people thinking about this fucking movie?
Yeah.
And then like the animals, like Drew was saying, the animals aren't normal looking animals.
There are some normal animals.
Yeah, but for the most part, they're like kind of exaggerated. Like there's a dog thing, but it has like shells on the outside of it.
It looks like an armadillo dog.
Yeah, like an armadillo dog.
It's like weird. Like I said, animals from before the flood.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Didn't make it through. Huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Or they have just evolved since then. Evolution. Oh,
yeah. Evolution is that he pretty much just like says the intelligent design. Boom.
Big Bang. God calls Big Bang intelligent design. The evolution is a God created thing.
Yeah.
There's a whole sequence where Noah tells he tells his kids the story of creation. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so.
But while he's telling this biblical verse, there's like this crazy like cosmos looking History Channel driven like
super montage.
Yeah, where it's like well there's the Big Bang and then you see the planets manifest from gas and like all these things that
and
we
the,
know
the
happen.
Earth, the Earth forms.
Dude,
and everything.
It shows the moon. It shows the creation of the moon. It shows the giant planetoid hitting Earth, Earth absorbing most of it, a little bit staying around, like how we know the moon was made.
Yeah,
it shows it.
And then it goes into the water, single cell and a single cell organism.
All the way up to monkeys, and then all of a sudden it flashes.
That's a funny thing. So it shows evolution from single cell coming up out of the water, crawling onto land. All the way up until monkeys swinging through trees, right? And I'm thinking, is he going to go from monkey to ape? Are we going straight up full-on Darwinian evolution?
Is he
going to
go
in this biblical movie about Noah? You know, like really stick it to the Christians?
And then, boom.
Yeah, but then there's a
flash of light, and then they're in the Garden of Eden, and the Adam and Eve are like these weird, bald, golden, hairless beings.
Yeah. So they're created separately from the line of evolution of animals, so it's very interesting. Kind of hedges your bets there. So it's this whole promoting this idea of evolution through intelligent design in a Christian themed movie, you know, but then also hedging your bets with also created Adam and Eve separate over here on the side. So
this, that sounds kind of insane.
It is insane,
dude.
I seriously doubt I will ever watch this movie.
No,
I highly recommend watching it.
Check it out, Matt. I would say for you, don't run out and see it in the theater. You know, red box it for a buck and change. You'll be surprised. Some of it's really, really cool looking. It's a Darren Aronofsky movie. We're talking Wrestler,
Black Swan,
for a Dream, Pie. I mean, the guy's a really good director.
Yeah, Black Swan's one of my favorite movies. I mean,
there you go. And this one has Emma Watson and Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'll just leave it at that. Just put two and two together there. You imagine what happens in this Noah movie? None of that Black Swan stuff. Not even close. I mean, there's a reason why. Colbert said it. There's a reason why Black Swan made $300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
All right, well, I would say Noah, go see it in theater because it's an Aronofsky movie and it's crazy looking. It's great,
it is some weird fantasy Bible epic.
It's the most non-mainstream movie I've seen since Watchmen in 2009.
Yeah, definitely.
Matt, you can go ahead and just wait to DVD. It's cool, buddy.
I'll wait.
I think you'll like it, though. I think you'll be like, "Wow, that was a weird fucking movie, man."
It was a weird fucking movie.
It
reminded me a lot of The Fountain.
Yeah, there are a lot of parallels to The Fountain in there. We can do a whole episode just on parallels to The Fountain on that thing. All right, so here we go. New movies coming out on DVD this week. Only two really movies coming out. There's 47 Ronin, that Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, finally.
Yep. So it's kind of meh. It was an movie. And Anchorman 2, Legend Continues.
Oh, boy.
With that R-rated cut with the 786 new jokes.
There you go. 786?
Something like that, yeah. Exactly, yeah. 786 new jokes. And it's R-rated, so... as opposed to the PG-13 original theatrical. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. Drew, what's coming out in theaters? What's the main movie coming out in theaters? We already mentioned it.
So what?
The main movie coming out in theaters this weekend. We already...
Oh, yeah. That's what, Captain America Winter Soldier?
Oh, right.
That's coming out.
That'll make a lot of money.
It should do well.
Reviews are actually really good for that movie.
Are they?
People are saying that it's... it's sort of like a spy thriller. And
yeah,
it's well, more than
I
it's
mean,
like
that's a, what yeah, that's what it, they're going for. I mean, as opposed to comic booky.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got Robert Redford in it, so
yeah,
it can't not be a
I
spy
mean,
movie.
That being said, I thought the first Captain America may have been the worst of all the Marvel movies.
It was
pretty
bad.
I thought it was.
Even more so than the Hulk movies or even the first Thor. Because I would put the first Thor below Captain America.
I think, no, I like the first Thor better than the first Captain America.
Interesting.
Not that I like the first Thor, I'm just saying.
Oh, no, yeah, no, just in terms of ranking. As in ranking quality of art, that's all we're doing here, you know, pitting them against each other. A lot of other movies come out in limited release next week. The only one I really want to mention is Under the Skin, the Scarlett Johansson, Jonathan Glazer movie. I think it's going to be a limited release, though, so we might have a few weeks to go before seeing that, which is fine by me, because like I said earlier, we got the Florida Film Festival next week.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we're going to see Dom Hemingway.
So we'll see Dom and Hemingway, which is coming out limited next week, but also at the festival, the Florida Film Festival. A lot of movies we're going to be seeing, a lot of documentaries. All right, so let's take a break here. I got the Crespo Disco. We got a song from Bob Dylan. Any Bob Dylan fans around here, guys, at all?
Nope.
I like Bob Dylan. I mean, it's, you know, weird, but, you know, I like him.
He is a little weird, that weird style of focus. Mm-hmm. I'm reading The Mayor of McDougal Street, which is a memoir by Dave Van Ronk. He's a folk singer from the 50s and 60s and I guess even 70s New York scene. The latest Coen Brothers movie, Inside Llewyn Davis, their movie about the folk singers with Justin Timberlake. That was based on this book, on this memoir. And this guy used to hang out with Bob Dylan. He talks about when Dylan first showed up in New York from Minnesota. And when they first found out, he was like, his real name, it wasn't always Bob Dylan. He was like Robert Zimmerman or some shit, you know. And they're like, oh, and they teased him a little bit, but it was all cool. Anyway, here's a Bob Dylan song. The song's called Wigwam. It's from the Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack, speaking of that Wes Anderson. And then we'll be back on the second half of the show. We got to talk about a couple trailers, got some movie news, got some questions, got a lightning round, some True Chicago versus the World. So keep listening, guys, because it's about to pop off. So I'll tell you what, listen to this music. Matt, tell you what, let's listen to this song. And then we'll get the show started.
Yeah.
Da to the quest logo.
Welcome to the second half of episode 64 of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going? Hanging out with Juicer Cobber and Drew, how's it going?
What's up, bro?
And Matty Ice, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Matt was cabin. On Twitter, you are.
Matt is cabin. Can't change it if I want to get verified, buddy.
That's true. You know, I changed my Twitter handle.
Now you never get verified.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I won't get verified now, which... I should be verified. Because there's a lot of Chris Crespos out there. On the Twitter, there are. That's why my Twitter is at I am Chris Crespo.
Are you?
Oh, I am, for sure.
Are you sure?
But there are a bunch of other ones, too. And I can just be just Chris Crespo. Someone took that one. And what, Chris Crespo and a bunch of numbers? What, boring. Chris _ Crespo. And I got to tell people put an underscore in there. You know?
It's better than it's off seal angel.
Yeah, I know.
And then he doesn't even explain. He's like, he tells people it's official angel.
It's off seal.
And then he's like, but it's not spelled the way. Then he'll just say, take out one of the eyes. There's three eyes in there. It's off seal angel. Shout outs, Angel Rivera. Go check him out at a Horsepower Friday nights, 10 o'clock. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. And you want to get some plugs out of the way. Matt, tell people whatever you want to put out there for them.
Yeah, actually, so the big thing that's going on right now with SBK Live is our Pigs and Pints hoedown at Wall Street.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
It's going to be really fun. Saturday, April 19th.
Yes, there
4 to 8 p.m. It's a Saturday afternoon thing. You pay $10 at the door or $8 in advance, and you can go to wallstreetplaza.net.
Nice, nice.
And you come into Wall Street, you get a free pork sandwich, you get a free orange blossom pilsner, a free cocktail from Deep Eddie Vodka, which I think they're a little bit of a newer brand, but they're really good. We're making a pink lemonade, a regular lemonade, and a sweet tea cocktail for the hoedown because they have
all southern
iced tea vodka, grapefruit vodka, and regular vodka that we're going to make the iced teas out of. So, you know, you hang out all day, you eat, you drink, play some cornhole. The Deep Eddie girls are going to be hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great time, and it really supports SBK Live, which, you know, at this stage in our growth, we very, very much need the support. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so it's going to be a great time. Tell your friends. Go to wallstreetplaza.net. Come on down to the hoedown.
And again, to recap, for $8 in advance, free sandwich, free beer, and a free cocktail.
Yeah, so
come on, for $8?
Seriously, a sandwich, beer, and a cocktail for $8, that's a steal.
So it's more than paying back what you're already paying to get in.
Plus,
so
you got to hang out with Matt, Kevin, and Angel from SBK Live. You got to hang out with Drew Sakagura and myself because we're going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hang out with Big Mike from Swamp Patrol because he's going to be there.
Is there?
Who knows what's going to be there? There's going to be tons of people. There are all sorts of people. It's going to be an awesome time. Pigs and Pints? Porks and Pints?
Pints and Pigs. Pigs and Pints.
You might have to figure out the name. Like,
I don't know which comes first.
But there is pig, there is pint.
Doesn't matter which comes out first because it all goes the same place in the end. I'm excited for that event. Sure, that's going to be a lot of fun. So there you go, people. Please come out to that. That's going to be great, great times. All right, here we go. So let's start the show. All right, so we got a couple of trailers to talk about. I guess people at home, if you haven't seen the trailer yet, we'll start with the trailer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, I'll see it.
All right, so go ahead, people at home. We'll wait for you. Go ahead and watch the trailer, and we'll wait. So how's it going, Matt? Doing good?
I'm doing great.
CrossFit's treating you well and all that
stuff? Yeah, you know, it's hurt my back a little bit.
Oh, yeah, be careful of that, buddy. You got that Obamacare?
You
got that Obamacare?
Bro, you got to lift with your legs.
Lift the legs.
Well, I mean, we were doing, you know, deadlifts, so.
Welcome back. All right, I hope you enjoyed that trailer, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer. It's more of a teaser. It's only a minute and a half. You only get a little bit of the turtles in there, too. So, guys, what did you think? Matt, let's start with you. Did you grow up watching the cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a fan? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those were all the same.
I had all the toys.
We had all the toys, too.
All of them.
Yeah.
Can we compare toys real quick? What toys did you have? What did you have?
Which one didn't I? It would be easier to tell you which ones I didn't have.
Did you have the turtle van that shot the pizzas?
Yes.
I had the turtle van. I'll serve my turtles and everything on one side of my bedroom, and then I'll put the turtle van on the other side, and I'll shoot pizzas.
I mean, I had all the weird ones. I mean, I had the, which one was the robot turtle?
The robot turtle.
Yeah.
I don't remember the robot.
There was a robot turtle.
Did you have the blimp? The turtle blimp?
Yes.
That Technodrome was awesome.
Yep, I had.
Did you have a Technodrome?
Did not have a Technodrome.
I didn't have a Technodrome.
Did not have a Technodrome.
I wish I had a Technodrome. Did you have any of these sweet toys, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I had all the Ninja Turtle
like
guys.
Like the guys themselves?
I don't really remember.
They had so many action figures from the cartoon.
They did have so
basically
many. Different versions of each guy.
Yeah. I had like three versions of Michelangelo, like four Raphaels, like 100 freaking Leonardos. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Ah, the days.
Yeah, I was always a fan of Raphael. That was my turtle.
Was he really?
Yep.
I think Michelangelo was my guy. I was more of the party pizza guy.
The most popular one.
I love.
Yeah, I guess that is more
the relief. You know.
Yeah, the populist pick. I guess that's kind of.
I was
a
big fan of Donatello. I don't know why.
Donatello
was the brains, wasn't he?
Exactly.
He was
I think that's why I liked him so much.
And Leonardo was the leader. I don't know what Raphael was. I don't remember.
He was the badass.
He was the sardonic badass asshole of the group.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm too cool.
Yeah, he was too cool for all that shit.
No. I don't know. I mean, I think the movie looks pretty bad, but I'll still see it.
Yeah, the movie does look quite awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a minute and a half of a teaser, but...
I like Megan Fox, but, you know, everything she's in is just awful.
I like looking at Megan Fox.
Yeah,
I don't like listening to her talk or watch her act. I mean, staring at pictures of her is okay.
Yeah, have you noticed in the trailer how her...
She doesn't say a word.
She doesn't really say a word, and her face... facial expression does not change.
I don't think that she's an Academy Award winning actress, but I think she's a better actress than people give her credit for. I just think she picks really bad movies.
No, fair enough. You know what? I kind of think along those lines where a lot of people say, oh, that person's such a bad actor or that's such bad acting. And I don't really think that there's... When it comes to these professional actors in these movies, there's really very little actual bad acting in these mainstream movies. It's just choices that are weird, maybe that don't sit well with you. But there's reasons behind the acting. The acting itself is fine. Maybe it just doesn't work. Or, like you said, maybe the acting is fine, but everything else around the movie itself just stinks. So, it sours everything, you know?
Yeah, she just doesn't pick good stuff.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say Megan Fox is a bad actress. I would say she just makes bad life choices. That whole Brian Austin Green thing.
I think it's just typical. This will be typical Michael Bay. I know he's not in.
Oh, producer, but even his movies he produces still have a certain style to them.
Where
effects,
a lot of fighting, probably a couple cool, memorable action scenes, but a horrible movie.
And lots of things are going to explode.
Stupid story. Directed by Jonathan Liebsman, who his biggest movies have been the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, one with Jessica Biel from like 2003, and most recently Battle Los Angeles. Which had awesome trailers.
It was all right. I liked it enough.
Yeah, the movie was a little disappointing.
It was definitely disappointing.
It had a couple moments that were good.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't. There are some people who would argue that.
I think
New York City correspondent Billy D would argue that. He says the movie is horrible.
I think Aaron Eckhart's another guy that makes really weird choices.
Yeah.
In Battle of Los Angeles. Because to me, Aaron Eckhart is the guy in Thank You for Smoking. I think that movie was really good, and I think he was perfect for that.
He's a great
role. Then he picks. What he was in that?
All right, Frankenstein.
That's the one.
What was he thinking?
And even Batman, I thought he was a little weird in. I mean, it wasn't like he was bad or it was. But I mean, look, if you get a chance to be in Batman, you'd be in Batman.
If you had a chance to work with Christopher Nolan, you work with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just in Battle of Los Angeles, he's like a soldier. It's like I don't know.
Fighting aliens. Yeah, it was a weird. Well, you know what? Good for him at least for trying to make different choices.
I guess.
Not doing the more normal stuff. It's just it hasn't worked out for him. That happens to a lot of actors. A lot of guys, they want to do something different.
Chin.
He does have a very distinct butt chin going on there. That Aaron Eckhart, that huge dimple thing. Did that Rabbit Hole movie with Nicole Kidman where it's just an hour and a half of them mourning their dead child.
Sweet.
Good times.
Never said.
Good times. All right, so Ninja Turtles, at this point, based on this trailer, we all don't think it looks so hot, but because of the past that we all grew up with the Ninja Turtles, we're still going to end up seeing this thing, right?
I have to.
Yeah, I'll be
Which
there.
Is what these people were banking on in the first place. That's why the movie's
I mean, the
made.
Last good Turtles movie, I think, was TMNT.
That was the last movie. That was the last
Turtles
movie.
Was that the one with the ninja rap?
No. No, TMNT, that was the CG one
ninja,
that came out.
Ninja, rap,
where
ninja,
where they ditched all the colors, and they all had the red bands again. It was more
They had red bands in a movie? No, not in the movie.
Actually, it was Go Ninja, Go.
Go Ninja, Go.
Vanilla Ice.
That was the Vanilla Ice one in the second one. The first one had a different one, the T-U-R-T-L-E, Power, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That was a song that
played during the closing credits. Dude, I watched that first Turtles movie with the Stan Winston costumes and stuff. I watched the shit out of that movie when I was like 7, 8 years old, over and over. over and over.
What about Turtles in Time?
That's the third one. Nah, I wasn't down with Turtles.
The video
in Time.
Game was awesome.
No, video games are cool. Now we're getting off on a Turtles tangent. The Turtles have still been popular too. Like, there's still a cartoon that's on right now. Like, I guess on a Disney Channel or some shit. Yeah. So the kids are still, which is really funny when you think about how the Turtles started. It started as that black and white comic strip from back in like the mid '80s. Eastman and Laird, these two guys, and they did it kind of as like a spoof. They were really spoofing comic books at the time and comic strips, and it was supposed to be a big joke. These really violent ninja turtles, you know, and then they somehow got popular. TV show, movie, 20 years later, almost 30 years later. Holy, holy guacamole, Batman!
And now it's an empire.
And now it is a Turtles empire. So here we go, produced by Michael Bay, Turtles movie. Oh snap!
Here we go.
It's time.
It's time
for some Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Here we go, Matt. It's time for Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Right now we're doing the 2014 scoreboard after three official games. Drew's 2-1. You beat. Who'd you play? Aaron Weiss.
Yes,
Aaron Weiss Band. From cinemafunk.com. And you beat him, so you get to go first. Do you remember last time you guys played from last September? Who won, who lost in last year?
I'm pretty sure I lost.
You think he lost?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Last year, Drew finished 2013. His record, 11-11-1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that stupid tie. That's my bad. That's my bad.
The first and last tie I'll ever have.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go, guys. We're doing a Which Made More Action Star Edition.
Oh.
In honor of Schwarzenegger and his bomb. I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which one made more money at the U.S. box office. Drew, you won last week, so you get to choose. Do you want a Group A or Group B?
We'll go with Group A.
Group A, here we go. Which made more, The Terminator or Predator?
Man. Dueling Arnold.
Yes, that's going to be the theme. Dueling, same guy.
Predator.
The Terminator made $38.3 million.
Wow, thought that would have been more.
Predator made $59.7 million. That is correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Do it
now.
Number two, which made more? The Running Man or Commando?
More. So did I get the Arnold list? Is that what's
not
going
necessarily
on?
No, not necessarily. It's spread out.
Running Man or Commando? I'm going to go with Commando, even though I like Running Man more.
All right. Running Man made $38.1 million. Commando made $35 million. Running Man barely made more. Number three.
Really? I would have thought Arnold in a more regular movie as opposed to in a kind of a weird science fiction movie would have been.
The trick with that one is that Commando came out a few years before Running Man, so he was getting the momentum going.
Oh, okay.
He was more popular when Running Man came out. Number three, which made more, Cliffhanger or Tango and Cash?
Cliffhanger
made $84 million. Tango and Cash made $63 million. That is correct. Good job.
Well, the only reason I figured as much is because I remember there was my buddy had a Cliffhanger video game, and it was
the Cliffhanger video game.
Awful. It was so bad, but I was like, man. But
about Stallone climbing a mountain.
if it prompted a video game, it must have made a bunch of money.
There was no Tango and Cash video game. That's correct. Number four, which made more, Under Siege or Executive Decision?
Ooh. Oh, that's easy.
Oh, whoa, Matt said
Executive Decision.
Executive Decision, Drew
says. I would
have
said Under Siege.
Matt would have said Under Siege. Oh, my God. This is the first in Drew's Cogburn versus the World. Throwing down during the game. Under Siege made $83 million. Executive Decision, $56 million. Under Siege is correct. Matt is right.
Buddy.
Yeah, there you go. And number five, here you go. Drew, you are 2-2. Which made more, Bloodsport or Kickboxer?
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport made $11.8 million. Kickboxer made $14.6 million. So you got that one wrong.
Oh, not looking too good for me this
time. 2 out of 5. Here we go, Matt. You ready, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Number one, which made more, Universal Soldier or Street Fighter?
Street Fighter.
Universal Soldier made $36 million. Street Fighter made $33 million. Oh, only $3 million difference, but you are incorrect. Number two, which made more money? Die Hard 2, Die Harder, or Live Free or Die Hard?
Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2 made $117 million.
Yeah, that one then. There's no way that other...
Live Free or Die Hard made $134 million. Dollars. The highest grossing Die Hard film is the Live Free or Die Hard.
Wow.
Yeah. That makes
it is by far the worst of
them.
No, the last one.
The last
one
is actually somehow worse.
Yeah.
The Good Day to Die Hard is somehow worse, and that one made no money. Number three, here we go. Come on, Matt. You need to get all three of these right to win. Which made more? Jingle All the Way or End of Days?
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way made $60 million. Drew nods his head in agreement. End of Days made $66 million.
Really? Are you serious? Man.
I've never even heard of End of Days. Jingle All the Way.
It's the post-apocalyptic one.
It's the one where he has to fight the devil. Gabriel Byrne's the devil.
Never saw that one. Really terrible soundtrack that I bought.
That was my twofer of Schwarzenegger non-action. Jingle All the Way, he attacked Christmas comedy and horror, End of Days horror.
Post-apocalyptic horror. Well, pre-apocalyptic horror.
Well, if I get these two right, I tie.
If you get these two right, you tie, and I got a tiebreaker, so it's not over yet, buddy. Here we go. Number four, which made more money? Rocky 3 or Rocky 4?
Well, 4 was better. It was a Russian. But 3 had more star power because of Hogan and Mr. T. So I'll say 3.
Rocky 3 made $125 million. Rocky 4 made $127 million.
Yeah!
So not only wrong about that, but you're also wrong about how Rocky 4 is better than Rocky 3. Actually, Rocky 3 is better than Rocky 4.
Just saying.
All right, so you can't win, but here we go. Number 5, which made more, Taken or Darkman?
Taken.
Taken made $145 million, and Darkman made $33.8 million. So you got that one right. 1 out of 5.
Man.
So good job, Drewster Cogburn. You're now 3-1 this year in Drewster Cogburn versus the world.
Nice match, sir.
Rough. Yeah, that was pretty rough.
That was pretty rough, actually. Some of those are close, though. Those are specifically hard on purpose, some of these. The tiebreaker was, how much money has Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies made in the U.S. in total, closer to the pin?
$1 billion.
You say $1 billion? How much do you say?
No, I say like maybe $500 million.
You say $500 million? Matt wins that one. $1.7 billion.
Damn.
Yeah.
27 movies Arnold Schwarzenegger's been credited in.
So wait, since I got one right and the tiebreaker, we kind of tied, actually.
Yeah, tiebreakers account, though. So. Nice try there, buddy. Good job. Good job, Drew. Nicely done. All right, let's get back to these trailers. We also watched a trailer for Hercules.
Hercules.
So go ahead and check out the quick trailer, the minute 30 teaser trailer for Hercules. We'll be here when you get back. Okay, so Drew, how's it? What's up over here?
I mean, I'm really glad that this isn't like The Rock doing Hercules in New York.
What are you talking about the Hercules show for? People are still watching. They haven't come back.
They've seen it.
Oh, okay, they're back. Okay, guys. All right. So we saw the Hercules trailer. So
it's
The Rock. I was very
impressed by that trailer. Actually, I think that has potential to be a pretty good movie.
It's a good trailer. I think it's a very effective,
I love the
cool
ending.
Trailer.
The ending. What he said. The
last. He's holding the sword. And he's got the lion thing on. I love the shot of the lion coming at him, and then the next shot is him with the lion hat on.
Yeah, like lion obviously lost.
The giant lion too. And there's like some three-headed dog thing, and then the weird serpent thing.
Yep. You know? The Hydra.
Actually, you know, a lot of it, like that shot of him when he's in the water, and you just see his gigantic back, and he has the long. Really, it's the long hair.
Pretty much the entire. Up until you see that, like
towards the end, you don't see his face until towards the end of it.
Exactly.
But like a lot of the shots of him walking around, he just looks huge, hair down, especially with giant sword.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking Hercules. I was thinking Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer type of dude. Like this is This is a Conan movie that I would love to have seen. Like when they remade Conan a few years ago with Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. When you have Dwayne Johnson roaming around out there, you can't make someone else Conan the fucking barbarian, you know? And this just proves it. He's walking around with a sword and long hair. You can call him Hercules, but it doesn't matter.
He looks like Conan.
He's just a giant badass dude who can slay monsters. Yes. And I believe it. He's a rock, you know?
Agreed.
You show me, Matt, you sent me this this Grantland article. Bill Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Action Star Championship Belt.
I thought it was a very well-done article.
It's a very... I like it. I thought it was cool. It's where Bill Simmons, who's really known for sports mostly, but he actually does a lot with movie stuff these days. Pop culture. He wrote this pretty cool article, Drew, where it's he started with the Action Star Championship Belt. And
so
the,
like a Crespo Dome WrestleMania type
deal? Right, exactly. You know, it's like the Crespo Dome heavyweight title for action guys. And he started in the 60s and gave it to Steve McQueen for Bullet. And then throughout the years, like, who was the reigning action star the
biggest,
at the time?
Basically the biggest box office draw as an action star for that year.
Including movie influence as well. He kind of tried to factor in certain things. And then he also did a lot of things for, like, Contenders. So, like, while Clint Eastwood was the king in the 70s, and he was the holder of the belt, he would talk about, so one of his contenders was Bronson for, you know, the Death Wish movies and stuff, but he couldn't take over the title because he was in his 50s. It's actually pretty well thought out, a lot of it. And, you know, everyone's got their opinions, you know, I obviously have my own opinion, so when he started getting to some of the Seagal stuff, I was like, listen, I'm a Seagalologist. Seagalology is the thing. Yeah. I've read the book frontwards and backwards. I've seen the movies. When he said Hard to Kill is Seagal's best movie, I'm like, you know, agree to disagree. You're wrong. It's out for justice. We all know. Seagologists know it's out for justice. But anyway, it's cool. So it was really cool. These days, I'll be honest, Matt, it was really long. It was kind of crunching time, so I didn't get to the very end. Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Did Dwayne Johnson ever get the belt at any point?
No. They had a very interesting argument with Dwayne Johnson. The current champion is Liam Neeson, according to him.
Which is fine. I agree with that. Absolutely.
But I guess Dwayne Johnson or The Rock, they're saying it's hard for him to grasp it because of the wrestling thing, and people don't take him seriously enough. Yeah. And their argument was all the movies that The Rock is the best in and that he's the biggest badass in, i.e. the Fast and the Furious or the G.I. Joes, he's not the lead. And when they put him as the lead, it's not the same draw and not the same badass action star.
Well, what other leads? Okay, so he was obviously the lead in The Scorpion King, but we're talking about an offshoot of the Mummy franchise, which is, those are a bunch of shit movies anyway.
Walking
Tall sucks. The Rundown is good.
Awesome.
The Rundown's very good, but like in this article, Bill Simmons, during that time period, I did read that part. Like he mentioned The Rundown, but he's like, this isn't enough to even qualify for this time period. I think that was the Jason Statham maybe years or whatever. He needs. It's been frustrating because since The Rundown, all right, there's a scene in The Rundown, right, where, and that's from like
2004. I saw that when it came out. I don't really remember.
Yeah, well,
it's a Peter Berg movie, it's before Peter Berg got way too serious with his movies. It's like really fun, really cool. What was his name? Sean William Scott?
Yeah, Sean William Scott.
He's funny.
Oh, that was that movie, yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Yeah, you know,
The Tooth Fairy speech.
It's a great speech. There's a scene in that movie, because that is, you know, like you were saying, that was one of Rock's first starring roles, right? One of his first times.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in there where he walks into a club, and he's got to, like, get something from someone. He's got to get a ring or some money from some guy. He's got to shake him down. And as he walks in, Schwarzenegger walks out, and, like, they stop by each other, and he looks at him, and Schwarzenegger says, like, have fun.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. And they shake hands.
Or something like that, you know? Yeah. So it's like the passing of the torch, like, from one action star to the other. That was the point of that scene. And then Dwayne Johnson never really capitalized on it. With his movies subsequent to that, his most popular, successful films were like The Game Plan, Tooth Fairy, which were Disney kids films, family movies. When he went action, it wasn't straight action. He did Doom, which was horrible, horrible film.
I didn't hate Doom. I didn't hate it.
I fell asleep during that piece of shit.
It was so bad.
How are you going to make a movie about demons on Mars and make it boring, bro?
I didn't think it was boring.
It was so boring.
It bore the crap out of me. It was bad. I didn't enjoy it. And then you know what also really disappointed me that he did? Although he was good in it, it's kind of the thing where even good acting, it doesn't matter. The sequel to Get Shorty, Be Cool, do you remember that?
Yeah, I never saw the sequel, though.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. And he played some, like, he was like a gay bouncer or something. I can't remember. He was great. He was funny. But the movie itself was what a hunk of garbage. That really pissed me off. That
it's like Pain and Gain. He was funny in Pain and Gain.
He was great in Pain and Gain.
He's great in Pain and Gain. And that's actually a pretty good movie, too. Even though you're making a comedy about a really horrible event, but that's Michael Bay for you.
But that was Bill Simmons' point, was all his greatest roles, biggest badassness, funniest parts are the second lead.
Interesting.
Or the third lead.
Interesting. All right. Well, maybe good old Hercules could change that.
Yeah.
Well.
And if The Rock can finally start being the lead in some serious, well-made action movies. You know, and we just watched on HBO 2, Snitch. He's the lead in Snitch, and that's a much more low-key, almost more of a drama than an action movie, but he's great in that. He's really good. This was last year because he did Snitch, Pain and Gain, G.I. Joe, and what was his fourth movie? He was in four movies last year, The Rock, which is crazy. Anyway, Hercules, I think it's a good trailer. Now, it is a Brett Ratner movie. Brett Ratner is only as good as the screenplays, really. So he'll either give you Rush Hour, which is awesome, or he'll give you Rush Hour 3. So, you know, here you go. Let's see which Brett Ratner we'll get with this one. So those trailers are cool. All right, I got some movie news here. I got some interesting stories I think you guys might dig. Matt, why don't you tell me, which story do you want to hear about first? You want to hear about how Fox Studios is making a bunch of Marvel movies? Do you want to hear about the new Cheech and Chong movie? You want to hear about Adam McKay's first drama film or Prometheus 2 development?
Prometheus 2, because Prometheus 1 was one of my favorite movies.
All right, fair enough. Here we go. Prometheus 2 is being written right now. Fox actually has... they just picked a screenwriter. This fellow whose name is Michael Green. He was an Emmy nominee for his work on Heroes. And he was one of the writers on Green Lantern. But apparently, most of what was wrong with Green Lantern wasn't on him. Also, that the original draft of this Prometheus script that's out there right now, the movie Transcendence that's coming out with Johnny Depp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of looks like a sort of like a Lawnmower Man meets nanotechnology type of thing. I think that guy, Jack Paglen, he wrote the first draft of Prometheus 2. For Ridley Scott. And then this guy who was working a little bit on Green Lantern and Heroes, he's rewriting it. The plan for this is to come out May 2016.
So, oh, man, that's ridiculous.
2 years from
two
now.
Two more years.
That's how long it takes to develop a movie. From writing to production like that, it takes about a year and a half to 2 years to make a movie, dude.
I thought they already started, though. I thought they had the ball rolling.
No, they didn't. They've been dragging their feet a little bit on it. Damon Lindelof has said that he wants nothing to do with the sequel after the reaction he got from a lot of people on the first one. They're saying this one, they're trying to make it more alien-y, so it's going to be a little more, I guess that means more horror-ish, close quarters type of stuff, which would be cool. Nice compliment to the first movie, which is more of a sci-fi exploration type of thing, Prometheus 2. The original title, I remember, for the sequel is going to be Paradise. It was going to be Prometheus, and then Paradise, and then something else. And Paradise is where the engineers were from. Now, I don't know if they're going to keep with that title, if they're even going to continue doing that thing. Another thing that they actually mentioned, there's going to be multiple versions of the David android.
Okay.
So Michael Fassbender will be playing other Davids at the same time. Oh. And within the same scene, too. So that'll be interesting to see how they work that in. Yeah, so there's going to be extra Fassbender in this one. So I hope you enjoyed your Fassbender the first time around, because we're going to get even more now. That's cool. I'm looking forward to Prometheus 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the first one. A lot of people really didn't like it.
I enjoyed it.
I absolutely thought it was phenomenal.
I really enjoyed that out too. But you know what? Also, I remember when it came out, I was like, this thing's going to be in my probably my top five of the year. It's so good. By the time the end of the year rolled around, it didn't even make my top 10.
Nope.
So many movies came out. It's crazy.
Man, I think it might have been my favorite movie the year it came out.
Really? Yeah, but it was good. It's just to look at.
I've seen it three times, actually.
Yeah.
I never do that.
You are not a movie rewatcher. I can vouch for that. Drew, pick the next story. Do you want to hear about how Fox is making Marvel movies, new Cheech and Chong movie, or Adam McKay doing a drama?
Marvel.
You know how those Marvel movies are making bank.
Mm-hmm.
Bankola.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel, not it's Marvel, Fox, they have the rights to Wolverine. No, they have the rights to X-Men, which includes Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And they have the rights to Fantastic Four.
Okay.
So they are going to ride those trains as hard as they can. Here we go. 20th Century Fox is making its Marvel properties a foundation of its upcoming slate and has announced a release date for the Fantastic Four sequel.
Oh, boy.
Before the first movie has even begun shooting. How do you like that? Those are some cojones, man. That's
seriously
some balls.
Who's going to be in the new Fantastic Four? Yes. They said that?
Yes, they did. They announced the cast. Who's the cast? It's a bunch of young people. What's her name? Invisible Woman? Sue Storm? Right? Mm-hmm. She's Kate Mara, the chick from House of Cards.
Yeah, I love Kate Mara.
Reed Richards, the stretchy guy.
Yeah.
That's Miles Tanner, I think his name is. You see Project X, the party movie?
Yes.
He was the star baseball player guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was also in this movie called The Spectacular Now that came out last year.
Interesting.
That really
okay.
good.
Okay.
He was in that bromantic comedy that was
the awkward moment with Zac Efron.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who's the Human Torch?
Human Torch?
That's the important one.
Michael B. Jordan.
Black guy for the Human Torch.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
which
bold.
Is interesting because they're supposed to be brother sister.
Yeah.
Human Torch and Invisible Woman, but yes. Invisible Woman, like we said,
be
is part
outraged
Mara.
Over that. I'm sure.
There's always outrage over that.
The thing.
People are outraged when they made a blonde haired guy James Bond. The thing is Jamie Bell, who if you saw a picture of him, you'd recognize him.
I'll Google him. It's fine.
Look him up. Jamie Bell. He obviously it's a thing. They're going motion capture, and he played Tintin. In The Adventures of Tintin. So he has motion capture experience.
Hmm.
They're going for a younger looking Fantastic Four with this. And it's directed by the guy who did Chronicle with Michael B. Jordan. That's your Michael B. Jordan connection right there. So that Fantastic Four is supposed to come out. Does this have that release date? June 19, 2015. Fantastic Four 2 will come out June 14, 2017. So they're going to make this guy, if the same guy is going to direct both movies, they're going to make him pretty much do back to back. Like, you finish the first one, get to work on the second one right now. Because we picked the release date for you. Before June 2017, before Fantastic Four 2, a few months earlier, March 2017, the new Wolverine movie.
I still haven't seen the other one, and I love Wolverine.
You got to see the newer one, the one in Japan.
It was a lot better.
It's good. It's actually pretty good. According to this article, the guy who directed the Wolverine, James Mangold, is going to be back for this new Wolverine.
Okay.
But then I read another article that said they don't have a director yet. So that might be... I got conflicting information on that. But so we got Fantastic Four 2 and Wolverine come out in 2017. And then Fox has an untitled Marvel movie for July 2018. Which is weird because it's not like they have... It's not like it's Marvel Studios... Where they can say, oh yeah, we have all these untitled Marvel projects because they have a boatload of things that people just guess. Is it Doc Strange? Is it Ant-Man? What are they doing? It's fucking Fox. All they have is Fantastic Four and Wolverine. Speculation, 2018, some sort of X-Men, Wolverine, Fantastic Four crossover movie.
Well, I mean, they can do that because they're all in the same universe and they've all teamed up in the comic books before.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And... I think I've talked about this on the show before, and I wrote a little opinion piece on ChrisCrespo.com about it. The Avengers effect. When Marvel made a whole bunch of movies leading up to the Avengers and then put all the characters together, that changed the way now some of these studios are making movies. Now, like for example, Man of Steel. That movie started production before the Avengers came out. Okay. While they were still making Man of Steel, Avengers came out and made $200 million opening weekend in just 3 days. If you're another studio, if you're Universal or Warner Brothers, and you see that opening weekend, you're like, oh my God, I want that. Why can't we have that? So now you take your successful Man of Steel movie, and you're going to retcon that into your Justice League movie. So that's how now they're throwing in Batman. Wonder Woman. They're developing all these TV shows so they can try to get a Justice League movie. They want to mash all that shit together. Now Fox is doing the same thing. First with and Sony Universal doing that with Spider-Man. They're trying to make a bunch of Spider-Man movies to mash together all the villains to make a villain mashup movie, Sinister Six. And now Fox is doing that apparently with Fantastic Four and X-Men. What the hell, man?
There you go.
It's just not now. I mean, now, you know what? Lego movie. That's what all that was. Like, we mashed up Batman or Wonder Woman and Abraham Lincoln and a little bit of, right?
And the way Marvel Studios
Star
is
Wars.
Doing everything, you know, with the eventual Infinity Gauntlet. And that's just that is literally a mashup of everything Marvel.
Yeah, it's Fox. That's Fox. Brian Singer. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Marvel's doing Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. Right.
I mean, No one's everything. Said they're doing the Infinity Gauntlet, but that's where they're going.
That is what they're doing. Yeah.
So, and that's a mashup that is literally every Marvel character in the universe.
Yeah. So
is going to be in that movie,
but it's going to be the ones that they have the rights to.
Yeah.
Because Fox has rights to some, and Universal has rights to some. It's all spread out right now. Another date-related news: we're talking about Liam Neeson, current action star champion, according to Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Taken 3. January 9, 2015.
You gotta stop with the Taken movies now.
No, not as long as they keep making money, buddy.
I haven't seen
I
want to
see the new Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to see the plane where he's on the plane.
Nonstop?
Yeah.
You know what?
That looks good.
Simmons had put in that article, he mentioned how one of the reasons why Liam Neeson is, you know, action star du jour or whatever, is because he does have the ability where you can be like, oh, Liam Neeson on a plane, movie sold. People are going to go see it, right?
Yeah.
When we went to see, were we even going to see that?
Neeson on a plane.
Or were we going to go see something else?
No. I just remember we were there to see Neeson on a plane.
I just remember.
How was it?
It's okay. It's right.
Neeson on a plane.
The trailer gives away 95% that of the sucks. Movie, which does suck. When we were there, though, there was someone ahead of us in the box office, an older gentleman, and he's standing at the window, and he says to the girl, one for that Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even know the name of it, didn't know nothing, just one for Liam Neeson.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, I agree with him being the biggest badass right now we got going on. Taken 3, January 2015. This says unnamed Ridley Scott film is set for March 4th, 2016, but that's Prometheus 2.
Oh, okay.
That's Prometheus 2. And then after that, he's going to go right into the Blade Runner sequel with Harrison Ford. And then they also announced there's a Matthew Vaughn movie coming out October 2014, a Vince Vaughn movie come out March 2015. Oh, and a Frankenstein movie starring Daniel Radcliffe. Daniel Radcliffe.
Come on.
He plays Igor, I think. I think he's sexy. Wow. Igor. That comes out October 2015. So there you go.
Oh, Potter.
Wow.
Hey, he's got to do something.
He should just live off the Harry Potter money.
No, he should live off that Harry Potter money. No, he bought some like $100 million bed. Adam McKay. The name sound familiar to you guys?
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, the director of Anchorman, okay. Other guys. All he does is comedy. He's doing his first drama. He's doing a drama about the bubble burst of the 2000s, the market crunch, the collateralized debt stuff. Apparently, there's a book called The Big Short: Inside the Doomsday Machine. It got picked up by Paramount and Plan B, which is Plan B is Brad Pitt's production company, so who knows? Maybe Brad Pitt will get himself a little role in this movie, and it's going to be Adam McKay's first drama. I wonder if he'll get Will Ferrell in there for a little.
Yeah, that would not work. Probably.
That would be strange.
That would be for like a totally like serious, like just read these lines about collateralized debt. And you think that would work at all?
He could not do it seriously because you would just laugh at him talking about collateralized
debt. Yeah, even the most basic stuff, right? And he's like, "What? I'm trying to be serious."
And they're not.
He's like, "You're Will Ferrell, man.
You can't be serious.
We can't buy you, buddy." I thought that was pretty interesting, though, that he's kind of stretching, finally, for once, doing something a little different. I mean, he's done comedy. And, you know, the other guys kind of does tackle that whole too big to fail, you know, all that kind of shit a little bit. But I guess it'll be more straightforward. And finally, there's a new Cheech and Chong movie.
That does not sound good. They only had one good movie to begin with.
Up in Smoke.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Guess who is writing and directing this one? I'll give you a hint. It's a person. Oh, I'll give
Judd
you a,
Apatow.
No. Good guess, but no. I'll give you a hint, though. This might help you. The guy who's directing this, you won't even have to give me the guy's name. This might just straight up give it away. Think of a comedy troupe that have been making movies.
Super Troopers.
Yes, the Broken Lizard guys. Jay Chandrasekhar. He's directed all of them.
Yeah. I think those guys are really funny. I even like Broken Lizard's Club Dread. I think that is such an underrated comedy.
I haven't seen the Club Dread.
I crack up. And people hate on that movie. They say it's so stupid. I thought it was great.
Hey, it's comedy. You know, that's the thing with comedy. It's not even hit or miss. It's so subjective. Or is it objective? Subjective. Because it's your taste. It's what you think is funny. I can't tell you what you think is funny.
I mean, those guys, three big movies, Super Troopers,
yep.
Club Dread,
and what's that, the beer one?
Beer
right?
Fest.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the three of them. I think those guys... I'll see this Cheech and Chong is because I like their comedy stuff. And I don't like Cheech and Chong.
Well, Jay Chandrasekhar is writing and directing it. And apparently... Let's see. We got a little quote here from Tommy Chong. He's working a script right now for us. We've had some preliminary meetings. It looks good. It looks really funny. It will be about us going to a festival called The Burning Joint. All sort of shenanigans happen. It's going to be a lot of fun. That was Tommy Chong. So, yeah, the Super Troopers meets Cheech and Chong.
I'm in.
What is it, 2014?
It's going to be a really absurd drug comedy.
What a surprise. Yeah. Right? What a shock. What a shockeroo. All right, let's see. I think that's all my movie news. I got a couple of questions here. Got one on the Facebook. I just got to pull it up here. It just looks like I just got to load. Just loading Facebook now.
Yeah, well, load some more.
And load some more. Okay, here we go. Get in there. ChrisCresswell.com. Just throw it in there. It's somewhere in
boom,
here.
Boom, bar, bar,
bar, I probably should have like copied this,
or maybe had the tab open, or you know something preloaded, so we don't have all this random banter that we have to go through.
Should have had it ready to go. Because
what's your take on the situation?
It's a situation we got ourselves in. All right, I'll tell you that.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Hey, you know it's it's almost an hour and a half in the show. No one's listening anymore anyway. It's all good. People just stop listening. All right, here we go. No, that's not it.
No, that's
not it. All right, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, I found it. This is from Caleb. Caleb Twombly. Shout out, Stillwater. 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 The beers have jumped on me. The Stillwater, Oklahoma. Caleb Twombly. So I might be too late for this week's episode. This was last week. That's why I couldn't find it. What is your favorite terrible movie? A movie that is so bad, it's amazing. Thanks, Caleb. We appreciate it. So favorite terrible movie. You know what? Actually, I think I have a pretty easy answer for this one personally. Give you time to think about it.
Yeah, let me think for a minute.
For me, when I think of terrible movies that I truly enjoy, I almost hate to say that it is terrible, but the first Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, it's not really like a well-made movie per se. There's a lot of things that it's just not.
And it's like 76 minutes long.
But I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Also along the same lines, the first three Ernest movies. Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Saves Christmas, Ernest Goes to Jail. Not good movies by any stretch of the imagination at all. I love them to death. So there you go.
Mine just occurred to me too. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. Oh, okay, it's not even this movie actually won the Razzie the year it came out too.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's
Jack and Jill.
One of my favorites of all time. It's a little bit older than that. Quite a bit.
Serendipity.
I don't consider that a terrible movie because that's.
I do consider it a terrible movie. I don't think it won the Razzie.
Best romantic comedy of all time. Cocktail.
Oh, did it really? You know, Cocktail's cheesy. It's not
really
80s.
It was trying to be super serious.
Yeah.
The best part, too, like, I just love how he's a bartender and. The way they act towards bartenders is like they're the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
Like when he's meeting that girl's parents in the movie, he's like, "But honey, he's a bartender." it's how could you possibly think of dating a bartender?
Right.
It's so disgusting.
That
movie's just so great.
Now that I think about a lot of 80s movies I grew up watching, you know.
They're all great.
Like the Police Academy films.
Oh, man, they're awful and fantastic.
And they get worse as they go along.
Yeah, they do.
And you know what?
You keep watching
them. One of my favorite ones, Police Academy 6.
Oh, wow.
Sitting Under Siege. And that's,
man,
that's towards the end there. That's bad. Now you got Police Academy 7, Mission to Moscow. We won't even pretend that won't even happen. But.
Nope, that didn't exist.
Drew, any terrible movies that you just
you guys have pretty much hit them all.
So then
Cocktail and Serendipity. It's a two-way tie.
I mean,
now that you consider...
Cocktail is god-awful.
Oh, no,
I love the hell out of it.
I was just giving you shit on the Serendipity on that one.
I mean, like you said, those Ernest movies are great.
I love it.
Really not good at all. Ace Ventura is one of my favorite movies, and it's not good.
Oh, I have another one, too, that I love. You Got Served.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, You Got Served is one of those. Isn't like Bring It On, too, is another one where it's like...
Bring It On.
I thought Bring It On was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, they're so goofy. It's like, yeah, you know what? I can get into this.
Yeah,
bring it on. And Drumline too.
Oh, I
love Drumline.
Yeah. I love Drumline. Yeah.
Those three all kind of, because those three all came out at the same time, and I was in college and.
And they're all college movies, yeah.
Yeah, I actually bought...
Well, actually, this is one of them high school, but anyway, it's all around the same age.
I bought my best friend Dave Bring It On Again for his birthday when it came out.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Drumline, whenever it's on TV, I gotta watch it just to see the drumming scenes. Yep. They're so good.
It's great.
You know, and then Nick Cannon, he's like doing some acting. I'm like, yeah, I can sit through this stuff, Nick Cannon. I guess. You know, he's a white face guy. All right, where's my other guy? I have one more question. Unmas from Mr. Natathon on Twitter. What is the best and worst Schwarzenegger action film? And what is the best and worst comedy? I think he means Schwarzenegger comedy and not just best and worst comedy in general.
Yeah.
So, all right, best. All right. So we got four questions here. What is the best Schwarzenegger action film?
The best?
Yeah.
It would have to be, I mean, if we're talking like cinematically, technically speaking, it has to be Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Judgment Day all the way, dude.
It would either be that or True Lies, and I would go Terminator 2 between those two. Yeah. Terminator 2, when that movie came out, it hit like a bomb. Like, it just blew people away. Personally speaking, you're right. Technically, it would be T2. I mean, James Cameron, he makes almost art version movies of action films.
Yeah.
Personally speaking, though, I would go Commando. Just because he kills so many fucking people. There's one scene towards the end when he's raiding the compound and he's trying to get his daughter back, Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
And he's like killing people by the literally dozen. By the dozens. There's one part where he's running across a rooftop because he has to like just get from point A to point B. So he's running across the rooftop and the rooftop is long as fuck. It's like the length of a football field. So he's running. And I have a feeling like when they were making the movie, we were like, you know, there's just too much time here. Between kills. He needs to be able to kill someone. So he's running. He stops in the middle of the roof, and then some guys like pop up at the edge of the roof, and then he just swings around with his machine, goes da 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 da. He kills some guys, and then he finishes the run. Like, all right, there we go. We interrupted the run with some murders so we can keep the killing quotient up.
Yes.
And then thank God for this day and age of DVDs and stuff and extra content where we get director's cuts. They put out the extra footage of Commando where he goes into a tool shed.
And kills even more people.
He throws, the circular saw blade. Yeah. He throws one and he takes off the top of one guy's head. Another guy, like, he goes at him. He grabs his arm and he hacks it off with a machete.
Sweet.
And then the dude just stands there. He's like, he's got the blood pouring out of his stomach. He's like, no, shit. It's so over the top, bloody and violent. Oh. And then he hits that one guy at the end. He fights that one dude, the knife fight, fist fight, in the bowels of the building, and he sticks him with the pipe, like, and it goes through his stomach and into like the pipe behind him, so all the steam is coming out, and he's like, let off some steam. Oh man, so good. Sorry, I say Commando and you guys are going Terminator 2. All right, what worst Schwarzenegger action film? That's gotta be, come on, we got options, bro.
Yeah, seriously.
The guy's been prolific. I love Schwarzenegger, but I mean
Eraser, maybe, I don't know.
Eraser's pretty,
was pretty awful.
It's pretty bad. 90s is a good way to go for a bad Schwarzenegger.
Last action hero.
The problem with Last Action Hero is that like 20 different people were writing the script. Like, it went through so many different iterations that by the time they made the movie, it was just like
awful.
What was the point of this to begin with, you know?
But the best comedy is Kindergarten Cop. No, there's no
Hands
two
down.
Ways about it. I mean, that's easy.
Twins?
Nope.
I was going to say Twins for the worst.
Whoa, really? I would have gone Junior for the worst.
Oh,
for
I forgot that movie was ever made.
Yeah, Junior's definitely the worst.
That shows how good Twins is there when you look at Junior.
Yeah.
But you know what? I would go with Kindergarten Cop, though.
Yeah.
Because it's not the tumor.
It's not the tumor.
Man, that Simmons article points out. He did Kindergarten
Boys
Cop.
Have penises. Girls have vaginas.
What was it? It was he went Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop, Terminator 2?
I think so.
He had some crazy trifecta like that. God damn, bro.
He's got skills.
The Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
So... best Schwarzenegger comedy, Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Worst comedy, Junior.
Yeah.
Junior, I'm a pregnant man. Look, it's me. I have a big belly. Oh, so Arnold, why? It's, why were you... it's like I got Danny DeVito with me. Don't you think that's funny?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. No, we don't. Let's see. We do not have a question from Billy D. Do we? Checking one more time. Nope. No question from Billy D. New York City show correspondent. Slacking. Bushwick Bill. Get on it, buddy. Better send us something next week. That brings us to the end of the show.
All
which
right.
means I got here for you where it's somewhere. We got a lightning round for you, Matt.
Oh, jeez.
Because we got to get inside your brain. We got to let the people know what makes Matty Ice tick. So I got 10 questions.
All right.
We're going to fly through them. Just the first thing that comes to your mind, spit it out. Drew, please start the clock.
Go.
Number one, how long does it take for you to get ready in the morning?
Probably about 10 to 12 minutes.
All right. Number two, what was your favorite subject in grade school?
Grade school?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I liked math, but now I hate it, so it was math.
Funny how that works. Number three, do you prefer to shop online or in a store?
I got to put my hands on it.
Number four, which is furthest south, Bermuda, the Bahamas, or Key West?
Key West, actually.
That is correct. Number five, would you rather be the best player on a horrible team or the worst player on a great team?
Wow. Probably the best. Yeah, the best player on a bad team.
You'd be the best player on a horrible team?
That's hard. I don't know.
That is hard. You don't know? You just can go with I don't know?
Yeah, I'll go best on a bad team.
Number six, what do you do for fun?
You're looking at it.
Number seven, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Lateness.
All right. Number eight, what is the only bird that can swim but not fly?
Penguin.
That's correct. Number nine, who is the most famous person you met?
Define meeting, like...
In person.
But like a conversation or just like a hey,
handshake, hey, how's it go? I'll accept that. I'll accept quick meeting.
God, I gotta think about that for a minute. I mean, the most in depth was Lisa Lampanelli because I actually had dinner and drinks with Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But I mean, I've met more famous people than her. But I'll go with Lisa Lampanelli.
All right, Lisa Lampanelli. Shout out to Lisa Lampanelli. I'm sure she listens to the show.
Actually, yeah, her cell phone number still.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She tried to get her on the show so she can curse us out and make us feel
yeah.
like idiots. Number 10, if you found $100, what would you do?
I'd probably buy a case of that beer. What would I buy with $100?
Yeah, just $100. You just find $100? Yeah.
Man, you know what? No, I'd probably go to like Texas Day Brazil or just go pig out somewhere.
Hey, there you go. One time I found $100 while I was in college. Well, I got a keg of beer. Invited a bunch of people over.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I found out later whose $100 that was. And I was like, you know what?
Wow.
He doesn't have to know.
Nope, it's cool.
He doesn't have to know. We had some of those beers. It's cool.
Thanks for the keg, bro.
All right, Matt, I got three bags here, swag bags.
Oh,
you get a swag bag, buddy. Pick a color. You got pink, you got stripey pink, and you got stripey blue.
Yeah, the pink stripes.
Pink stripes. Drew, go ahead and break that bag out. Tell Matt what he is taking home today.
You're taking home some Wrestle Rampage stretchy fighters. They're sticky and stretchy.
Nice.
You've got grow dinosaurs just drop in water, and wow, it grows 400%.
Grow dinosaurs are the best.
Oh, we've got yourself a... It's called a rainbow spring because you can't say a slinky.
It's a slinky. It's a colorful slinky that's not metal. It's plastic.
Oh, wow. Really? We've got you a copy of Nicholas Winding Refn's Valhalla Rising.
Valhalla Rising!
This movie is freaking crazy, bro.
It's gonna bore you, but at least watch the first 10 minutes, because you can see the main guy, who is a mute, one-eyed Viking, disemboweled dude with his bare hands.
Yikes.
Then after that, you can go ahead and shut it off. And Drew's gonna make sure you yawn into the mic.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What do you got? What's this confusion?
I've got a large print edition of the Bible Word Search, but it has two different prices on it.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter about the price, but it's a large print edition of the Bible. So, Matt, if
no, you're Bible Word Search.
It's a Bible Word Search.
So it's like it's a Bible-themed word
search. It's a Bible-themed word search, and the letter's a little bigger, so you can see it a little easier.
You know, from, like from Mephibosheth, you know, you got to look for stuff like servant, Micah. Both feet and dead dog.
Dead dog? Yeah, you gotta look up dead dog in puzzle number 31. That's fantastic. Enjoy that one. Put that one by the toilet, buddy, with a pen. For sure. wasn't that bag. Anything else?
No.
That's it?
That's sweet. It.
All right, there you go, dude. That's your swag bag. Hey, thank you, Matt. We really appreciate you coming on, dude.
Absolutely.
And I guess, let me see, football season starting when? August? September?
Yeah, it's preseason's like the end of August.
All right, we'll get you back on before week one.
All right.
For sure, because week one through Super Bowl can't be found on a Sunday.
Yeah.
No.
Although, actually, by that point, too, you know, that'll actually be even worse, maybe. Because once the, you know, with the SBK Live Studio, Wall Street Studio down there, shout out to the Wall Street guys and all that. Once you guys got that stuff to go live, we're going to be doing the show Monday evenings.
Oh, geez. That'll be hectic.
Yeah, we're gonna do
Monday Night Football right underneath.
Exactly. Right, yeah. We'll be the lead into Monday Night Football.
Nice.
People can listen to us, and then we'll be done right when the pregame coverage is getting started. So, but yeah, that's, you know, a few months down the road, obviously, because we got to wait for the studio to get set up. You know. Until then, we'll just enjoy some Gringos Locos and deal with what we got. So, thanks, Matt, for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Drew, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir.
Thank you for listening, people. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you rate us and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher as well. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, ChrisCrespo.com, ChrisCrespoDiso on Twitter, CinemaCrespoDiso on Facebook, CinemaCrespoDiso on Instagram. Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Email the show at CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com.
I think you're missing something. I don't know what it is, though.
All right, see you next week for episode 65.